I think we can say thank you, Obadiah, and we'll all go home. I think we've got enough to ponder and to think about. It's interesting, isn't it, how the stories are about disagreement between brothers, because there's never any disagreement between sisters. They all get on so famously, yes. But of course, the other story that we know about the brothers, where there's upset of the prodigal son, where there's another upset between brothers, and where we get to the point where when the prodigal son comes home and the older brother says, "Your son," he doesn't say, "My darling brother," it's "your son," he points out to the father. Well, friends, if you've got the little notice today, the guideline for our sermon, you'll see that we've got a family tree on it. And there in the coloured square is you, is me, whoever we might be. I haven't got other relatives there. I haven't got father-in-laws and mother-in-laws, and I haven't got other bits and pieces, but that, I think, is enough when we look at Obadiah. If you've read the book of Obadiah, which is only one little chapter, really, one little bit, let me ask, how long? Who's read Obadiah in the last 5 years? One, two, oh, three or four people. Right, yes. It's just one little book, and as I've said, very quickly passes by. Just a quick reminder, though, because of the prophets, we've got up there, we've been thinking about prophets. The prophets seem to have themes running through their stories. Repent was one theme. Day of the Lord and God's love. Those themes run through. And when we gather a number of the minor prophets, they point to Jesus. In many of their, even though they're little books, in many of them, it's just a passing verse or a couple of verses, but it looks towards Jesus, the Messiah. I've got there that it's the shortest book in the Old Testament, and there's no information about the author or the author's parents, as there are sometimes. Talks to the self-satisfied, and it focuses very much on the lack of brotherly or sisterly love. So, what are we going to learn from this little book? Well, as Ted read to us, we've got the story of Esau and Jacob, the twin brothers who are born. Esau, red and hairy, and that becomes the nation, or he leads towards the nation of Edom, and Edom is also a word for red. We've had the story, I'm sure, in Sunday school, where sold heritage for soup. Who here is a twin? Anyone here a twin? Right, just Alice. Had twins? Right, you've had twins, Colleen? Righto. Yeah, lucky, hey, having twins. Right. It's interesting that although there's this animosity develops between these two, that if you follow through when you go home this afternoon, you see that Esau had some lovely qualities. He was willing to forgive and forget. Well, on the surface, some people say, was it a bit of a cunning trick? He was generous. He was an outdoor person, a skillful hunter. I've put there that we might say he was a typical Australian bloke. Self-satisfied, worldly, didn't seem to have any psychological problems, gave over his birthright and whatever. No spiritual yearnings. It might be a guy in this story. It could be a girl, a woman. But a person like this, when we're talking about reaching out and we're talking about what does a minor prophet teach us, how difficult it is to share with people like that sometimes. How difficult it is to share the faith of Jesus with someone who is self-satisfied and seemingly complete. Jacob becomes Israel. But all through this story, judgment and reality come. Because there is a judgment. Friends, it's very hard to understand how this works out. Again, when you go home, have a little read from Romans chapter 9. Those of you who take notes, scribble that on your book now. It says this, Romans chapter 9 from verse 10. Rebekah's children had one and the same father, Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who called, that's God, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For as he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. I think we have struggled right through Christian faith and reading to see how God seems to elect or select. I mean, we take someone like Ishmael, who was also a child of Abraham. And yet, heaven forbid, or God forbid, or whatever they would say, they would not call the Ishmaelites or the Arabs part of the chosen of God. But actually, he was a son, and Abraham had a number of other sons. So in God's wisdom, he does all sorts of things in his election and selection. And we understand, don't we, this story from Sunday school. We've got Rebecca. She's a cunning woman. She dresses Jacob up to look like and smell like Esau, so he'll get the blessing. But on the other hand, of course, we've got Isaac, who he quite likes Esau. It's a family disaster, isn't it? So is it any wonder that God just works through that, boom, straight? Is it possible that this story is saying God works through family disasters? Yes, it may be possible that some of you here this morning think my family is a disaster. And on reflection, maybe I've been part of the cause. God works through that. If we believe Romans 8, what does it say? God works together, what? For good for those who love him. So friends, even though we might have made mistakes in the past, if we love God, the wonder of the way he works things is to bring things back together. So we see here those two brothers. We see the prodigal sons. We see Canaan. We see all those situations that are so messy. So, Obadiah, a little book. If you want to follow, find it, please, just after Amos and just before Jonah, who we looked at last week. One of the sad things, I think, is that we saw that last week with Jonah too, is that we take some of the best stories out of the Bible and teach them in Sunday school, but we haven't really had the context and we haven't had the adult, if we need the adult, understanding of what's going on. Well, there's going to be judgment, we read in the first couple of verses. Judgment and reality. Why? Because there has been incredible pride on Edom, or Esau's behalf. And friends, we just need to be careful about that, don't we? David has so beautifully reminded us that in some ways we've got nothing to be proud of apart from the fact that we're loved by God. And that's what we can share with other people, his love. But if it's a pride in ourselves that becomes an arrogance, we're in big trouble, because all we have is God's. So what's going to happen? We understand, well, house plundered, bare vineyard, absolutely nothing left, and even friends will be setting traps. On that day, we've heard this before. On that day of the Lord, the theme through prophets, on that day there will be judgment. And on that day, things that they had put trust in, treasures, they had a lot of treasures in their deserts, they prided themselves on their wisdom, and they were good fighters. But no, all of that's going to fail. And what they're going to find as well is that you're going to be judged, Edom. And why are you going to be judged? Well, you're going to be judged for these reasons. A violence against your brother. They were brothers. They were twins. Same mother. Boom. But violence. And not only that, but you've joined with foreigners against your brother. And you've rejoiced over their misfortune. And you've looted, or you've taken their stuff. You have violated this brotherly love. Friends, there is surely a lesson here for us against brothers. Now, whether it's brothers and sisters in the church, and I don't want to go back too much in the history of this church, because you can go to many churches and you will find explosions, you will find upset, you'll find accusations. And you'll ask, where is the truth? And why has this happened? Friends, we've got enough opposition from outside. We don't need opposition from within. We don't need to be fighting each other. Now, I'm very happy about the peace in the church at the moment and how lovely that is to enjoy. But you would know, you don't have to scratch much other people in other churches and you find, the upset that we've had. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a wonderful bond and we need to work to maintain that bond. Otherwise, we are in trouble. When we talk about spiritual opposition, and that comes from without, but unfortunately, sometimes it comes from within. And here is what Obadiah is saying. Look what's happened. Violence against your brother. Now, I'm not expecting that anyone in the church is going to take a knife on anyone else. But words can be violent. Actions can be violent. Lack of actions can be dreadful. So, this is what's happening. And I've got there two challenges from John. John's lovely, lovely letters. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, he says, if anyone claims to be in the light but hates his brother, he is fact still in the darkness. But whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing that will make him stumble. Aren't they beautiful words? Living in love with each other and with our brothers and sisters shows that we're living in the light. And just over two more chapters, in chapter 4 of that same lovely letter, verses 19, we loved because he first loved us. We've been reminded of that. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, he cannot love God who he hasn't seen. Pretty logical. So, friends, I'm always interested when people say, oh, we need to have this program to bring people into the church. I agree, there are certain programs that are very good. However, I'm interested that we don't often say, is there a relationship I need to rectify? Because that might have more power. That might have more power in ministering the power of God than some program. Now, the challenge, I think, is for each one of us. And not only this family of God, but the bigger family. You see, on our little sheet, I am right here. So the family tree that I am part of, maybe I'm responsible for that family tree. Like, I have a brother, I have a sister. How do I expect that they will come to know Jesus? Oh, someone will walk along the street and talk to my brother or sister. Well, and let me say, I get on with them. It's not as if I don't get on with them at all. But maybe we need to check through what our relationships are like with our relations. Because sometimes that's what needs to be healed, to set a chain reaction going that enables people to see Jesus. You see, sometimes I think we live in fairyland. We sort of think something magical is going to happen to bring our relatives to Jesus. But something has happened. We've been converted. We've come to Jesus. So surely that's part of the ripple of the relationship. Sometimes, like this couple, the parents, Isaac and Rebecca, their stupidity and poor parenting and favouritism, all of those horrible things in bringing up children, all came into that family. Dreadful. And that was perpetuated on. So I say to you who are parents, let's be careful. I say to we who are grandparents, let's be careful about the inheritance that we pass on to children and to grandchildren. And may it be the inheritance of godliness. May it be the inheritance of godliness. I've told you before about the stupidity that's existed in my mother's family and how that went on. Why did it have to go on to my cousins? Stupid. And you would know in your families, perhaps, that there are issues that just are beyond belief. But it started maybe back with grandma telling a lie or doing something stupid or leaving money to someone else. Yeah. Friends, let's restore relationships. That's what Obadiah is saying. Two brothers went different paths. Now, the thought is, pardon me, in chapter 33 of Genesis, that in chapter 35 and 33 they went different paths, 35 they come back together to bury their father. So the thought is that the situation was one of reconciliation, but they still then went off separate ways. There's a big difference between living in harmony and creating peace. And on the back of our little sheet, well, before we go on to the back, we've got these things which just repeat the whole story in a way, saying the day of the Lord is coming, judgment is dawning, and ultimately, however, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. God will overrule all of this human silliness, but unfortunately, during that silliness, there'll be heartache and people will walk away from him. But what I was saying was on the back of the sheet, I'd like you to consider during this week some of these things. Just read them through and have a think. But point seven says, we'll leave it. Point seven says, seek peace and pursue it. Make every effort to live at peace with all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, not everyone wants to live peaceably with us. And sometimes you can do everything, and people are still antagonistic. That's their problem. But what is my problem is that if I feel there is someone not living at peace with me, or who is upset with me, or is not really sorting through what I should be understanding, I have a responsibility to deal with that. So friends, seek peace and pursue it. Don't just say, oh, everything's okay. We need to pursue peace. We need to follow through with peace. Make every effort to live at peace with people. Now, that's more than just saying, oh, everything's all right. We're Christians. We make every effort to live at peace because we follow the one who brought peace and is the Prince of Peace. And as far as it depends on you and me, what do we have to do? Live peaceably with other people. So, are you a person who ruffles other people's feathers? Well, maybe you need to think about that, because there are some people who are very abrasive. And that's not the way of a Christian, to be abrasive. We need to work through some of these things. And you who are brothers and sisters, there's a challenge from Obadiah here as to how you're going to live with your brother or your sister. If you're a young person, that's one thing. If you're an older person, that's another thing. Because it's possible, like these two brothers, it's possible that Jacob and Esau, who have gone in different directions in life, are now a long way apart. It's possible that some of us here have a brother or a sister who have gone in opposite directions and are a long way apart. But are we doing all we can to live at peace with those people and to pursue it? Old Testament prophets. As someone said, what good is an Old Testament prophet? Prophecies written to people thousands of years ago, to people who are now dead. What good is an Old Testament prophet? I can't think of anything more relevant than dealing with a family relationship and encouraging us to live in peace with our brothers and sisters in the church and in our family circle. That really is our prayer this week, is it not? To check through, am I in relationship and a happy one, a positive one, with my church family and with my nuclear or my blood family? And if not, maybe I need to pray about that and seek peace. Let's pray. We bow our Father in your presence, and we realise that none here is perfect, but we realise as well that there are some people who are very difficult to get on with and some who are easy. And we pray that we would be known as people who are easy to get on with. Because of your love for us, may we delight to love other people. Father, may it be said of us that we are people who seek peace and pursue it. May it be said of us that when people meet us, they are happy to meet us for the second time because the first encounter was so pleasant. Father, give to us an insight that we might think not more highly of ourselves than we should, but to think honestly and openly in order that we might rectify under your guidance problems or issues that affect other people. And Father, continue to transform us, we pray, that we might be like Jesus. Thank you for Obadiah. Thank you for the story of these two brothers, because it rings true in so many families. But Father, we are peacemakers. May we bring peace and hope and reconciliation, for we ask it through Jesus. Amen.